Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Jackie Barwell, who is a director at ACI Worldwide. Jackie, thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome.
So we're here to talk a little omni-channel fraud, omni-channel being a really important topic today for retailers to get their arms around. And I think as we've observed it across the ecosystem, it's still something that a lot of retailers are really ill-equipped to really take advantage of in terms of the opportunity for customer engagement. But the one area that you have focused on, Jackie, is fraud. And in fact, you've done a study and published results that suggest that more than half of retailers are not prepared to address fraud challenges as they cross the various channels that consumers use to shop. Why is that?
We focused on this particular topic because over the recent years, we have seen more of a challenge, I guess, being faced by the merchants who are monitoring predominantly their card-not-present channels. When you start to look at the variety, in order to remain competitive in this space, when you have a look at the variety of fulfillment opportunities that they offer to their customers. So if you take just thinking about card not present in its purest form that we understand it, we can go online to that merchant's web pages and we can make our shopping choices and we can check out using a credit card and we can have those goods sent to us at home. In the recent years and months, those fulfillment channels have expanded quite dramatically. So merchants, in order to remain competitive with their peers, will need to fulfill those orders quicker. So they needed to start to offer next day delivery, and in some cases, same day delivery, or an opportunity to research online, order online, pay online, and pick up in store in 2 hours, and in some cases in half an hour. So you can start to see the need to remain competitive being one element, almost forcing the hand of the merchant to make available so many choices for the customers. And our expectation of almost a limitless capability of ordering in a multitude of different ways, whether that's credit card, debit card, alternative payment methods like PayPal, for example, we almost expect that as if it's something that's always been there. But that just in itself creates such a challenge when you start to think about how to manage fraud across those huge choices.
But why is that? Because it isn't as if merchants just started to accept online transactions. They've obviously been evolving that capability over the last decade or so. But it isn't as if this is a brand new channel. So what makes it so different today?
You're absolutely right. It's not brand new. But when you start, if you go back in history when stores were first created, and we're talking some of the biggest stores that have been around for 100 years, for example, or even 50 years, or even 20 years, all of their systems, so all of the ability for them to manage data was created when they created their original brick and mortar store. When they started to expand into what we're now describing as omni-channel capabilities, so whether that's offering the ability for their customers to buy goods online, or using a tablet or a smartphone or a mobile phone, or give them opportunities to pay using alternative payment methods, they're relatively new channels, if you like. And as a result, as they expand into these new areas, the platforms required, the technology required to be able to fulfill those orders, are not necessarily the same platforms and technology and systems that were required for them to fulfill orders in a brick and mortar store. So almost as they're entering these new areas, each individual channel requires its own system, platform, technology, fulfillment capability, and that then presents them with their biggest challenge. And that's what we found with this survey. More than 40% of the merchants asked agree that organizational silos actually prevented them from performing omni-channel fraud management using their data and being able to actually share the data elements from each of the channels in one place where they could analyze this data in one place and to effectively track not just the performance of or the behavior patterns of the genuine customers, but also be able to spot more effectively the likelihood that fraudsters are attacking them.
So that's, I think, the key point, which is these organizational silos that, I mean, get in the way of a lot of things with omni-channel, you know, whether it's inventory management or pricing or loyalty. It's the different silos that are just hard to break down that creates the problem. So how do you work around that, or don't you?
There are ways that we can work with merchants to help advise them how they can utilize data, that the existing data that they have, and help them understand that by consolidating that data, they can then utilize analytical tools to really better understand the fraud risk that is presented to them by seeing all the data in one place. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they have to build again from the ground up all of what they have in store already and all of their technology that they have in store already. They just need to be able to find a way of being able to reach into those individual data storage areas with a single data mining or business intelligence tool capability and link that to their fraud prevention strategy. The interesting thing here was that this survey brought out was the mindset and the knowledge of what needed to be done was there. What really was preventing them from being successful in this space is really fully understanding what was required to bring all that data together to enable them to analyze all of the data using a single business intelligence capability linked to their fraud strategy.
This may sound like an obvious question, but who is most concerned about this? Who within the retail organization that takes the mantle and says something has to be done and I'm going to be the champion for making sure it happens?
That's a great question. And that's the other thing that we did find with the survey was, for the most part, there wasn't any evidence of an single individual that had the title or omnichannel within their title and fraud management or fraud prevention strategy director. We're starting to see some of the larger merchants are actually presenting a single fraud strategy across fulfillment channels, but system-wise is where the break and the silos remain. So I guess when you're probably answering this question in a roundabout way, but the mindset is there. I think it's not a huge leap for some of these, at least these bigger merchants, and it won't be long before we start seeing a fraud strategy manager with omni-channel in his title and responsible for fraud management across all channels, because the mindset is there already.
So it comes out of the fraud group. It doesn't come out of the business unit. It doesn't come out of e-commerce or mobile. It still resides within the fraud units of the organizations within the silos.
The person who is responsible in total for how that organization manages fraud across all channels doesn't necessarily have to be within the fraud team. They just need to have that as a target, I guess, in their day-to-day responsibility. It could be one of the highest ranked officials in the organization, maybe that will also have money laundering and compliance and other types of risk and compliance as part of their responsibilities. It could even be marketing, because essentially, or somebody that also is in charge of the marketing strategy for the company, because they will need to understand what new fulfillment channels are in the pipeline that will be offered in order to remain competitive against their peers. They will need to make sure that those new fulfillment channels are actually effectively fraud risk analyzed before they actually open the doors to the general public to enable them to use that new channel. So I guess it doesn't have to be the fraud management team within the fraud management team itself. There just needs to be someone within the organization that has in their sights but a consolidated responsibility across all fulfillment channels.
So if you could go into an organization that is siloed, that doesn't have some of the things that you talked about, you know, capability to have business intelligence tools, data storage, that consolidates data, and you could wave a magic wand, start from scratch with a green field, and design the optimal omni-channel fraud strategy, what would that look like?
Well, first of all, I'd probably be very rich if I had the answer to that question. As with any fraud management, there is probably no single answer. It's always going to be a multi-layered fraud prevention strategy that will enable you to be successful in managing fraud across channels. So, but what you need to understand is and this is what came out in the survey actually, almost all of the merchants absolutely knew for each individual channel what type of fraud risk was associated to that individual channel. Pulling it together is the challenge, and a higher percentage than not understood from a global strategy mindset what was required. The challenge comes with managing the data across all of those channels in a way that they can do what they know they need to do. So that's the first thing. The second thing for me is there will likely be a requirement for some kind of investment to help those that want to pull this data together to do just that. And I think this is where likely some merchants require some assistance. And how do you make what you need to invest in important enough to those that hold the purse strings and need to say yes to that investment in-house? And I think one of the things that some fraud teams seem to miss when they're analysing what they give back to their respective merchants in by way of what do the merchants get from investing in their fraud teams is being able to really communicate that they're not just there as a cost of doing business and stop as many fraud attacks as possible and therefore try and keep fraud losses low. One of the biggest gifts, if you like, that an effective fraud team can bring to a merchant is an ability to enter into what could be deemed as risky new geographies or new lines of product that without an effective fraud management capability would be deemed too risky to enter in a card-not-present world. So really, I think one of the biggest challenges educating the fraud teams on how they can effectively report to their senior management just how they can actually be a business enabler for that merchant, not just a cost of doing business. And that will help them secure the funding required that will make them even more effective in that nature.
That's a really good point, that if you have really good data and a good way to analyze data, you can enter new segments or geographies and manage the risk appropriately. And of course, all retailers are looking for areas of incremental opportunity. A couple of other questions before we wrap up. I mean, lots of times studies are done to validate hypotheses about a particular topic. And sometimes you just find surprising ahas that you hadn't necessarily expected to uncover. What were some of the ahas that this study produced for you?
For me, one of the biggest ones was quite a large majority of our merchants actually use scoring and modeling capability for their card-present environment. And I'd like to dig deeper into that particular piece of the results because for me that was surprising. I would have thought that a neural type scoring or modeling capability would be ultimately more effective in the card not present environment. So I don't know if it was a misunderstanding of the question within the survey that brought that point out, but certainly that for me that was quite a surprise. And I'd like to try and dig deeper into that if we have an ability to do that.
Interesting, because in an offline world, you actually have a person standing in front of you. Is that the point?
Well, yes, they do. But from the survey, it appears that they use a system for scoring as opposed to, face-to-face decisioning. So unless, they misunderstood the question, that for me was quite interesting.
Interesting.
There was one other thing that surprised me, and that was the use of 3D Secure in merchants in Europe was pretty much on a level pegging with the use of 3D security merchants in the US. And I really was expecting a much bigger shift of a much bigger number, if you like, of merchants using 3D Secure in Europe. But actually, when I dug deeper into that, it looks potentially like the UK use of 3D Secure far outweighed the European use of 3D Secure, and actually diluted the number in Europe overall. And that's maybe why the two sides were pretty even in the survey.
Interesting. So what do you attribute that?
Well, my understanding of the market would be, at the moment, with EMV just coming into the US, the anticipated swing to increase card-not-present fraud losses has not yet occurred in the US in the way that it's happened in all of the other geographies that have just implemented EMV. So when all of those other geographies implementing EMV, the trend of fraud has swung quite dramatically to the card-not-present world. And as a result of that, there's more of an uptake of 3D Secure to try and protect that channel. So my guess would have been that the US merchants would be much slower at the moment in implementing 3D Secure, but the number actually did surprise me.
Interesting. Speaking of online fraud, last question. You know, there's lots of speculation, and I guess this is based on experiences where EMV has been implemented in other markets, that fraud is going to move online. It's going to get phenomenally worse. And some of the estimates that we've seen, you know, show growth in the double digits. Now, some of that is related to the fact that there's just going to be more business online because online is growing as a shopping channel. But I'd love to get your thoughts on that. Is it that fraud is going to get worse because the cyber criminals are smarter than our fraud detection and security measures are? Why do you think it's going to be so much more devastating online than it is today?
Well, first of all, the reason we believe the CNP or card-not-present fraud escalated so dramatically post-EMV was for a couple of reasons. First of all, there's always an element of what I term to be domestic fraudsters. So fraudsters who live and work in country, they perpetrate their fraud in country and they want to spend and convert into cash in country. What EMV brought as a domestic fraudster was a much reduced ability to do that because they couldn't skim cards, recreate counterfeit cards in the UK and then spend them in-store in the UK like they used to. So the next easiest step for them was, well, actually, I can just use my stolen card data online and I'll just convert to CNP or card not present. So that's one of the reasons that CNP actually grew so quickly, was because the protective measures that EMV brought protected that face-to-face environment so much more effectively. So I guess it's a bit like the balloon analogy. You squeeze the balloon and the fraud's still there, it just goes to the next weakest point. And then, of course, to protect the card-not-present channel, 3D Secure came in. And that had a very good, very effective result as well. What we are seeing is still a continued growth in card-not-present fraud. But that's not necessarily because, and it isn't because, card-not-present fraud solutions are inadequate or behind. When you actually measure it, as you quite rightly say, against the growth in that particular part of commerce anyway, the fraud is growing, as we can see, but it's not growing at the same rate as commerce in card-not-present transactions as a whole is growing. So actually, what we're doing in terms of fraud prevention is effective, and it's reducing card-not-present fraud in real terms. I think what we just need to be very aware of, though, is we need to always be on our toes and we need to be one step ahead. And if we can be more effective by consolidating our data across all of our fulfillment channels and really use what we currently have today, but more effectively, we can not just be one step ahead, we can be two steps ahead.
Well, I think on that note, that is very sound and sage advice and sounds like what we talked about earlier and the optimal omnichannel fraud strategy. Jackie, thanks very much for joining me today and for offering your perspective on such an important topic for retailers everywhere. Thank you.
No, thank you.